Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love that part where it says, don't get shy on me. Sometimes I get shy. I know you guys think I have a big mouth, but I get shy. Oh, Lord. All I have is a hallelujah. Well, praise God, praise God. Good afternoon, saints. As you can see, the title of the message today is Unending Love, God Calls Grace. God not only loves eternally, he expresses that love through grace, reaching us in our brokenness, redeeming us in our weakness, and restoring us unto his beloved communion with him. Before we get started, would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Heavenly Father, thanking you for allowing us this day to come together once again in oneness of heart and mind, to worship and adore you, to give you thanks and to bless your holy name. Father, send your word to meet the needs of every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, only you know exactly what each person is standing in the need of. Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Well, good afternoon, saints. Psalms 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Wow. That's what we've been doing in prayer, in reading the scriptures, in worship. Today, we were also blessed to hear the testimony of Simhar. What a powerful testimony. Thank you, Simhar, for sharing that testimony. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Praise God. I came here today to lift him up. Last Sunday, we sang a song. I believe it's called, I Came to Praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. The lyric says, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to raise my hands. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to clap my hands. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to stomp my feet. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to do my hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Ron Canole wrote a song called Use Me. The chorus says, Lord, you can use anything. Use me. Take my hands and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. You can use anything, Lord. Use me. That's my prayer for today. The worship song we sung last week so aligned with my message for today. I wondered why God chose those songs for last week instead of today. Then I realized God was preparing my heart. The message is always to the messenger first. The worship song Jennifer sung last Sunday that she led us in called The Altar. Wow, that was the first time hearing that song. But the chorus spoke to my heart, that part about there is no lack at the altar. God can use anything. These words encouraged my heart, because they were a reminder to me that little is much in the hands of the Master. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record, after giving thanks and praying over 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus had his disciples feed 5,000 men, women, and children, and there were leftovers, 12 baskets. Little is much in the Master's hands. Jesus' first miracle, you remember that. When Jesus and his family and his disciples accompanied him to a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to Jesus and she said, they have no wine. Jesus' response kind of took us by surprise, the way he responded. Woman, what is that to do with me? Through Bible studies, we came to understand the word woman is a term of respect, not disrespect. Today, we might say ma'am. Jesus used the same word when speaking tenderly to his mother at the cross. Woman, behold thy son, John 19:26. The moment was filled with compassion, not rebuke. Yes, the tone may have sounded like a rebuke, but Jesus granted her request for more wine. Why? Because of his great love, because God is love. He turned 6 water pots filled with water into wine, each one holding about 18 gallons of wine. God is the God of more than enough. John 2:11 says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus do in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The definition of grace is unmerited favor of God, his generous loving kindness toward humans. It's not based on our worthiness, but it's on his character. The definition of agape love, we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 7, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrongs being done. It does not rejoice in injustice, but it rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, always hope, and endures through every circumstance. This is the love God shows us, and he requires us to show others. Anyone who does not love, I'm reading 1 John verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8, and it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. After going through a number of possible titles for today's message, I came up with Unending Love, God Calls Grace. I could have called it My Grace is Always Sufficient, because it is. But when I went a little deeper, I thought about why. What is the driving force behind the grace that God gives us that we do not deserve? Is it not God's unending love that has no bounds? I believe that most of you have heard about what transpired at CIW Women's Prison last visit, which was November the 3rd. How God, who is rich in mercy, by his Spirit, touched the heart of a young lady by the name of Taylor, who made a first-time commitment to accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. We're so thankful to God for the three other women, too, who made a recommitment to follow Jesus. We give God all the glory for the wonderful things he has done, because all glory is due his name. Each individual is precious in heaven, erupts in celebration when even one soul turns back to him. Luke 15:10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. You may not know this about what transpired November 3rd, but Taylor showed up to the Bible study extremely late, close to the end of the session. I was presenting the lesson, and I experienced being tongue-tied, stumbling over my words. Multiple times the word I wanted to use escaped me. I misquoted the memory verse. If this had been a public speaking class, I would have failed miserably. I felt defeated. And yet, when the invitation went forth, hands went up. Nothing but God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. To God be all the glory. Prayers went forth for salvation. Someone was praying. Sister Patricia mentioned she was, and Sister Sandy told us about someone else who had prayed that a soul would be saved. One plants. As we work as a team, we go into the prison as a team. There's no big eyes. One waters. But it's always God who gives the increase. Glory be to his holy name. God showed me in that moment God's unending love, God's grace is more than enough. I questioned myself, my abilities, but it was never about me, my abilities. God showed me that it's not about me. In fact, you can take me all the way out of the equation. It's not by power nor by might, but my Spirit, says the Lord. We in ministry often feel a heavy burden when it comes to bringing God's word to believers as well as unbelieving. We often spend hours on hours seeking God for direction, spiritual wisdom, his anointing, asking God to send a rhema word. And we need direction and his anointing. But I think oftentimes we forget it's the word that will destroy yokes, set the captives free, heal the sick, change hearts, restore marriages, send the prodigal sons and daughters back home. To God be the glory. He's always going to get the glory for what he does. John said, I must decrease that he may increase. Get out of God's way with our preconceived notions of how messages should be flowed. We need to leave at least 3 points to the listener. We need to say the title 3 or 4 times. Have you ever listened to Billy Graham give a message? It's so simplistic, and yet thousands of souls have been saved through the hearing of that gospel message, God's word. I can't tell you the message that I heard when I decided to give my heart to the Lord. All I know is this, I was blind, but now I see. God showed me again and again that his grace is sufficient for me, that his word will never return to him void, but it will accomplish what he pleases, and it shall prosper in the things for which he sent it. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11 says, the rain and the snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grains to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Verse 11, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper in everything I send it. This does not only pertain to preparing for a message, but it also pertains to our daily lives, our struggles, our trials. I believe that there is a reason why the Bible says over and over again, be still and know that I am God. Fear not, for I am with you. Be strong in the power of his might. Because it's not by my might or my power. The word says strong in his power. It's not my capabilities, but it's his power. My job and your job as those who bring the word of God is to show yourself approved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My job is to, by faith, to expect God to give the increase that he might be glorified. God's spirit empowers what human efforts cannot accomplish. His grace is sufficient and his love unending. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And this is Paul talking about the thorn in his flesh. Verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Verse 8, concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in need, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's thorn in the flesh. In this passage, Paul describes a persistent affliction. Most theologians believe it was Paul's blindness that Paul was pleading for the Lord to remove. God's response, rather than removing the thorn, God assures Paul that his grace is sufficient and divine strength is perfected in human weaknesses. We don't think about that often when we're sick. Paul's revelation, this led Paul to embrace his weakness, knowing that the power of Christ was resting on him and that he would see him through. Anybody need the power of God to rest on you today? Then know this, even in our sickness, even in our sorrow, even in our uncertainty, in our sadness and disappointment, allow God to get the glory out of that situation. How do we do that? By trusting God and by doing what he's telling us to do, that and to understand that his grace is sufficient for me. Why? Because he's going to get the glory out of it. Whatever it is, Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, New King James Version. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you spoke to your servant, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue. Some theologians believe Moses stuttered. I personally think that it wasn't to that degree, but whatever it was stealing his self-confidence. I think about that sometimes when I search for my words, when my words get hung up behind one another. And I think about what God said to Moses. This verse captures Moses' hesitation and sense of inadequacy. He's expressing his fear that his speech limitations will prevent him from fulfilling God's mission. Yet, in the very next verse, God reassures him. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say. Let that be a message for somebody. It definitely is a message for me. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 and 8 in the New King James Version, where this is Jesus and the centurion. And it says, verse 5, Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Send a word, Lord, today of healing. God showed me that it's his word. When he sends his word for deliverance, deliverance happens. When he sends his word for healing, healing happens. When he sends his word for peace, peace be still. It's his word. It will never return to him void, but it will accomplish what he pleases, and it shall prosper in the things which he sent it. It's not the speaker. Amen, amen. It's not the speaker. It's the word going forth. The reason I share this is because we're all going through something. And sometimes that something may feel like we don't have the victory. But I came to tell you today, keep holding on to God's unchanging hands. Sooner or later, God's going to turn it around. God is going to make you come out of this all right. And he is going to get the glory. Exodus 3 says, and this is a message for all of us. Surely, I have seen the affliction of my people. That diagnosis you received, that pain in your body, those children you're concerned about, those relationships that keep you up at night, those financial woes, those with challenges of housing situations, those lonely and bereaved of heart. God said, I have seen my people's affliction. I have heard their cry. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them. So whatever it is you're believing God for, know that it's already been sent by his word. John 14, 13 and 14 says, So whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I have found that there are at least five ways that God moves in trials. So I'm just going to share five of them that God placed on my heart. One, sometimes God allows us to face hopeless situations, but he's with us in the midst of them, just as he parted the Red Sea. If we trust and obey, we will walk through on dry ground, sustained by his presence. Number two, sometimes God takes away, but he restores double for our trouble. Like Job, we may lose something, but gain even more through divine recompense. Number three, sometimes God takes away permanently, yet we're reminded of how worthy he is and that he's worthy to be praised. The Lord giveth and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will resurrect that last day. Number four, sometimes God brings us to the very threshold of death, but he speaks, fear not, only believe. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And the last thing is sometimes God leaves the thorn in the flesh, not to torment us, but to teach us. He says, stop fretting over it. My grace is sufficient for you. We all love our church, three P's, prayer, praise, and proclamation. So, but do we think of the church as a place that believers go to get re-energized? We understand that we are the church. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? But we also are commanded in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of others together, as it is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I think we see the day approaching. We are the church as a whole. We come into the house of God to renew our mind, and we do that by praising God, thanking God, giving God glory. In essence, every time we walk through the door of the sanctuary, we're saying, no matter what went on through in this world this week, no matter what has happened to us, we are saying, no matter we're still standing in faith. No matter, we're still trusting God, our Savior. Every song we sing, we reinforce faith down in our spirit. Songs like God is Able, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Holy Art Thou, Lord God Almighty. How great is our God? These are not wimpy declarations. I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. They're bold in tearing down the lives of the enemy. These anthems and melodies are filled with thanksgiving, which fortify what God has said in his word, written on the tablets of our heart. We should never leave here the same when we come in. The combination of prayer, praise, and proclamation, and fellowship with like-minded believers, the love we receive, the counsel we receive from God's word going forth. God's word will accomplish what it pleases, and it shall not return to him void. But it will prosper in whatever he pleases. And guess what? We leave edified. God is glorified. All because we did what we were created to do. Worship God. The seeds were planted. The watering has occurred. And we will reap a harvest in our life. Now when the storms of life come in, and they will come in, we are like the wise man who built his house on a solid foundation. Like the five wise virgins who brought their oil with them when they went to wait for the groom. Now we're like the guests who came to the banquet in the proper attire. Now we're like the one who came back to say, thank you, not like the other nine who went about their business after God had worked a miracle in their lives. Now we're like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years who said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be whole. Now we're like the Pharisee woman who pleaded with Jesus to heal her daughter. The Lord tested her faith, and yet she persisted and made that fateful statement. But Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Now we're like Nicodemus, who knew a lot about the law, but the Lord taught him about grace. Now we're like the centurion who said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just send your word. Now we're like the man whose son was possessed, and the disciples were not able to heal him. The doctors couldn't heal him. Jesus said, O ye of little faith. The man replied, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. As I look over the congregation, I wonder if there is someone here today who's saying, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. If so, then you're in the right place. Are there any here today who have been going through long and difficult trials? And all you know to do is to reach out and touch the hem of his robe. Are there any here today who are saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said those words so that you might know that even in his darkest hour, God's plan was unfolding and God's purpose for his life was being fulfilled. By the way, Jesus always understood that his purpose was to glorify God. Do we know that fully and realize that? How many times in the New Testament did Jesus say that my Father in heaven might be glorified? Jesus told Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe that you would see the glory of God? God is saying today the same message to his believers, that sickness, it's not unto death, but for the glory of God. But you must believe. Martha was our example. Jesus, our demonstration of what faith in God can do. As he prayed, he said, Father, I know that you hear me always, but for the sake of these listening, I ask you to hear my prayer. The song says, I trust in God, my Savior, because he heard and he answered. Rest in that. Fear not. Keep believing. And if that means keep asking, then keep asking. If that means, like a dear sister shared with me and said, I have already prayed about it, now I'm just going to thank God for the testimony that he will give me when the manifestation is seen in the natural. That's faith. It's already done. All the songs, the Bible studies that God had Camille compile, the prophecy God gave to Minister Jennifer to speak, the testimony of Sister Maria, my message today, the message that Sister Sandy will bring next Sunday, God is speaking. Choose Jesus. Seek and hear God. Trust God. And while you're waiting, glorify God. May God richly bless each and every one of you under the sound of my voice. I'd like to make an altar call because God put that on my heart. And whatever he's put on my heart, I'm going to do. And I'm not worried about the results. I'm just worried about following what thus said the Lord. So Isaiah 53, verse 3 and 6 says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. All of us, all we like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone into our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can I, if we have it, John chapter 4, verse 14. I didn't put what translation, but at any rate, I'll just read the verse. Jesus said, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So there are many people who claim to be Christians and who say that they are believers, but their walk is not matching their talk. A Christian is a follower of Christ, someone who believes that Jesus is, we talked about that this morning, who he claimed to be, the only begotten Son of God. As the song says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins away. Far away. Amen. Amen. This thing keeps jumping. Praise God anyway. Lost my bliss. thank you. Thank you. If you want your sins to be carried away today, then this is your day. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Matthew 11:28, Jesus speaking says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are three invitations I like to extend today. Luke 9:26 says, for whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of God be ashamed when he comes into his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. So the first invitation is there one here today who would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And if so, raise your hand. The second one is there one here today who would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If that's so, then raise your hand. I myself believe that I know I was baptized when I was a child, but I didn't fully understand what it meant to believe in Jesus Christ. I thought it meant to believe means that he existed. I didn't know that to believe means that I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The last one I want to present to you today is there one here today that would like to make a recommitment to follow Jesus with your whole heart to the best of your ability? If so, raise your hand. All right. Did you raise your hand somewhere? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we'll pray for her. Do you want to come up and pray for her now or at a later time? Okay. Okay. Yes, Simhar. Is there anyone else would like to be prayed for now? The only one? Praise God. Yeah, just praise. Thank you.
God. Thank you, Evangelist Dolores. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the spirit of the Lord. She preached to us about grace. Can I just take a quick poll before we close out here? How many in here are a recipient of God's grace?
Yes.
I,